Over the course of the last several Sunday evenings, last Sunday afternoon notwithstanding, we have been doing some lessons in which we've used kind of a host of the Proverbs to help us learn some valuable lessons from God's inspired Word. And we kind of want to sum things up in this. I know there are a lot more Proverbs that we could deal with. There'd be a whole lot more we could look into. But for the time being, let's kind of wrap this up with, I think, one of the important elements that we find in the book of Proverbs, and that being wisdom. People over the years have described, referred to the book of Proverbs in various ways. One of those I heard was a treasure trove of knowledge and wisdom. Another one was a book of knowledge and wisdom for life and for a lifetime. And Proverbs is a book of God's gems of knowledge and wisdom. So many different ways that you can describe this great book. But again, regardless of what you come to the conclusion, how you want to think of this book, certainly one of the foundational elements is found in the word wisdom. This is where we would naturally want to end this series of lessons. Our focus this evening is going to be threefold. Number one, to kind of learn what wisdom is, to get a picture of what is involved in wisdom. And number two, to learn how do we achieve it? How do we obtain wisdom? And number three, learn why wisdom is such a precious treasure. Why is it so important? Now, you may think, as why I'm telling you to turn over to James chapter 3, that you may think initially, well, what a strange place to start out, considering we're talking about the Proverbs. But really, James chapter 3, verses 13 through 17 is a good foundation. In fact, we'll come back to it once or twice. Beginning in verse 13 of James chapter 3, James asked the question, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." You know, when you stop and look at this short section here, the words that James gave us could possibly be fitted right in to the book of Proverbs. It might fit just nicely in there. Because he starts out by asking, who is a wise and understanding person? He says that person should do something. Show by their good conduct that your works are done with meekness and of wisdom. He then goes about talking about the wisdom of the world. And he contrasts the wisdom of the world, in which he talks about the concept of bitter envy and self-seeking and lying and boasting against the truth and things of this nature. He says this kind of wisdom that we get from the world is not from heaven, but from an earthly source, and it's sensual and it's demonic. It's carnal. He says, because where you find envy and self-seeking, confusion and every evil thing exists there as well. And then, of course, I think the beauty, the crown of this whole thing is in verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. The wisdom that we get from God is without any kind of impurities. the wisdom that we achieve from God and His Word doesn't have that which ought to be cast out. It's already been cast out, and only what is left is without flaw. It's pure. And then, of course, he goes on and adds to the concept of being pure. He says it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's willing to yield, it's full of mercy, full of good fruits. It does not show partiality, and it is not filled with hypocrisy. The wisdom that we get from God is flawless, it's perfect. So really, when you look at James chapter 3, 13 through 17, it's really a good springboard into the Proverbs when we're talking about wisdom. Now you might want to turn back in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Proverbs. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 4, first of all. In Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse 5, Solomon pens these words. Number one, get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you to honor when you embrace her. Did you notice how many times in this particular text that Solomon, talking about wisdom, actually personifies wisdom? He uses expressions like her and she and mine. He's personifying it. It's as if he's putting a face on wisdom, humanity to it. He's saying here, number one, get wisdom, get understanding. Don't forget. Don't turn away from the words of my mouth. The word my mouth there is Solomon saying the wisdom that's coming from me. And don't forsake her. Don't forsake wisdom. Just put the word wisdom in each case. Listen to what it would sound like. Do not forsake wisdom, and wisdom will preserve you. Love wisdom, and wisdom will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing, and therefore get wisdom. And in your getting, get understanding. Exalt wisdom, and wisdom will promote you. Wisdom will bring you to honor, and when you bring you to honor when you embrace wisdom. All of these are personifications. And I want you to notice, too, that it starts out and says actually twice, but get wisdom. It starts out with that. It is in the imperative mood. The imperative mood, by its very nature, means that something must be done. It's imperative. It has to be done. It's a mandatory thing. As Christians, and certainly to the Jews of Solomon's day, wisdom was an essential part of their life. The wisdom that, as James put it, that comes down from heaven was an essential part of their life. You can't rule your life properly. I can't rule my life properly without that wisdom. So here in the Hebrew, and I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but I was able to look this much up, this is a commandment. It's an imperative. We must have wisdom. And not only that, he lays it out there. What does it do for you? If you don't forsake wisdom, what happens? It preserves us. Tells us to love wisdom. And when we do, wisdom will keep us. Exalt wisdom, and wisdom will promote us. It'll elevate us. It will exalt us. Wisdom will bring you to honor when we learn to embrace wisdom. There is absolutely no doubt in my mind that what Solomon is trying to get across here is, folks, you need this desperately. We all need to work off of the principle that God's wisdom is what is going to preserve us and exalt us and elevate us to the kind of life that God wants us to have. That's just how important godly wisdom really is. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 8. We're going to stay there for just a little bit here. I won't spend a whole lot of time, but beginning in verse 1 of Proverbs chapter 8, and this is a beautiful section here. We'll go verses 1 through 8 first of all. Does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the high hill, beside the way, where the paths meet. She cries out by the gate at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple, understand prudence. And you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of the excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteousness. Folks, this is not here Solomon saying these things about himself. He has once again put a voice, if you will, to wisdom. This is the voice of wisdom speaking. And listen to how important it is. Does not wisdom cry out? In other words, we're being beckoned by the wisdom of God to listen, to pay attention, to hear what wisdom has to offer us. Listen to also, she takes her stand on the high hill beside the way where the paths meet. In other words, at the highest point, at the pinnacle where the voice can be heard the best and where those paths meet. That's how important wisdom is. It positions itself, as it were, in the most prominent place for us to put it in our life. And he goes on by saying that wisdom cries out at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. You see, at the gate of a city, that entrance into the city, that was the prime place to be because people went in and out of that gate all the time. People used that gate to do business. People came in and out of that gate to survive and to sustain their lives because that's where the marketplaces were. So it says wisdom positions itself in such a place to get your attention, to be there ever before us. That's how important wisdom is. He talks here about the simple ones, gaining understanding and prudence, the fools, to be of an understanding heart. In other words, if you've been seen to be a simple person and not looking for God's wisdom and you're foolish because you've rejected wisdom, basically what it's saying is open up your ears and receive the wisdom that God has to offer. It says, listen, for I will speak of excellent things. Here, wisdom says, I'm going to speak of excellent things. And from the opening of my lips will come right things. People who use God's wisdom in directing their lives, right things come from them. And then notice also, he says, all the words of my mouth are righteous. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. When we seek God's wisdom, when we seek that wisdom from above that James talked about in James chapter 3, basically what's under consideration there is that is saying that everything is pure and peaceful and gentle and merciful. It's right. There's nothing evil about it. No crookedness, no nothing perverse about it. What a great picture that is. Let's skip down to verse 11. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. You know, you stop and think about it. The wisdom that comes from God is far superior to the greatest, the most beautiful, the most precious, the most expensive gemstone that there is. In this case, he's simply comparing it to rubies, something that would have been something to catch their eyes, the brightness and the color, and what people appreciated and thought was beautiful. He says those things don't compare with what wisdom can offer you. Wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that you might desire can't even begin to compare to the wisdom that comes down from heaven. Then verse 12, I, wisdom, again, remember, this is the voice of wisdom talking. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. That word prudence there simply means with sobriety. It carries with it the idea of dwelling circumspectly. We're told in the New Testament to walk circumspectly, to be wise, to use our time properly in those things, types of things. Well, here's the same kind of concept. Not only is wisdom better than rubies in verse 11, I dwell with sobriety, I dwell circumspectly, with a sense of decency, and find out knowledge and discretion. Great picture we have there from Solomon in chapter 8, verses 1 through 12, if nowhere else. But notice also Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10, where Solomon said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. How do we get this wisdom? And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Folks, it comes with reverential awe of God. How do we get it? We've learned about wisdom. We've learned what wisdom is. And we've learned that it can be used in a sense of personification. And all, but how do you get it? Simply stated right here, isn't it? Have a reverential awe for God. Reverential awe for what the Lord has presented before us. He says, in the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Want to know about getting wisdom? Want to know where that starts? Respect God. Fear God. Reverence Him. Be in awe of who God is. Because He created all there is, and which, by the way, is the only true source of wisdom to begin with. And then Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. See, once again, Solomon says that the fear of the Lord is where the beginning point of wisdom, it's the beginning point of knowledge. And only fools will despise wisdom. Folks, God challenged Job. In Job chapter 28, you might want to turn over there real quickly to Job chapter 28. We'll look at verses 12 through 28. But God challenges Job here to tell him, that is, God says, Job, tell me where wisdom and understanding can be found. We'll pick up in verse 12. But where can wisdom be found? Where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value. Nor is it found in the land of the living. You know, certainly for the truth, for the most part, that is true. Most people do not have a clue about the value of wisdom. Most people are so consumed this day and age with knowledge, I want more knowledge, I want more knowledge, but they don't ever ask for wisdom. Wisdom is the proper use of what God has blessed us with, the knowledge included. But he then goes on and says, man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. That is to deal with the world in general. He says, the deep says, it is not in me. And the sea says, it is not with me. It cannot be purchased for gold, nor can silver be weighed for its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire, neither gold nor crystal can equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewelry or of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or quartz, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. That goes back to Proverbs 8 and verse 11, doesn't it? The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it. Nor can it be valued in pure gold. Now stop there for just a moment. And we get such a tremendous and beautiful picture of the value of wisdom. It's above onyx. It's above the crystal. It's above gold. It's above any kind of jewelry. It's above any kind of a coral of quartz. It's above rubies. It's above topaz. All of these things, even as it puts here in verse 19, pure gold. That would be gold that was so perfectly refined as to find no impurities in it. And remember here, now God's still talking to Job. He's questioning Job. He says, second question, from where then does wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard a report about it with our ears. God understands its way, and he knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth, and he sees under the whole heavens, to establish a weight for the wind, and apportion the waters by measure, when he made a law for the rain, and a path for the thunderbolt. Then he saw wisdom, and declared it. And he prepared it. Indeed, he searched it out. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from the evil is understanding. So simply put, isn't it? So simply put, it goes back to this whole idea of James chapter 3 and verse 17. There is a wisdom that comes from above. Not earthly, not sensual, not carnal, but from above, where it's pure and peaceable and gentle and merciful. And what a marvelous picture that is. We want to know where it comes from? Right here. It tells us where it comes from. God is the one who offers wisdom. Proverbs 16, verse 16. How much better to get wisdom than gold? And to get understanding than silver. Goes back to Proverbs 8:11 again. Wisdom is far above the price of rubies. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 3 through 4. Through wisdom, Solomon writes, a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. And he's not talking about physical things here. He's talking about spiritual things. And then verses 13 and 14, just 10 verses later from Proverbs 24, 3 and 4, Solomon would finish up by saying, my son, eat honey, because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to your taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be to your soul. Stop there for just a moment and think about what he's saying. He's telling us that when we taste something as good and sweet as honey is, when we find knowledge of wisdom, that's going to be just as sweet to us. He says, if you have found it, there is a prospect. In other words, a latter end, and your hope will not be cut off. You know what that tells us? Our hope is finding the wisdom that God offers us through His inspired Word. And finding that wisdom that He offers us when we petition Him for that wisdom. To use the knowledge that we gain from His Word properly. And He says, when that is true, our hope will not leave us. It will not be cut off. Wisdom is a powerful and marvelous thing, so seldom, in my estimation, sought out by people. We want knowledge. We want more information. We want this, we want that. But folks, wisdom, according to the wise man Solomon, is far above those things. Far above even wealthy things. The rubies, the gold, the silver, etc. If there's anyone here who's never been obedient to the gospel call, what a marvelous opportunity we have tonight to obey the gospel. What a marvelous opportunity we have to begin that journey and that quest for the wisdom that God offers us. The gospel is so simple. to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, to have your sins washed away, and then rise up and walk in newness of life. Be that new creation in Christ Jesus. Be that person who is ready to put that old man of sin away and put on that new man of righteousness. What a marvelous picture that is. Maybe it's the case that you're a child of God and you need to come back. You've lost sight of that the need and that love and that yearning for the wisdom that God offers us. You want to come back on His terms. If you need to receive assistance in any way, won't you come right now as we stand and sing this song?